It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Penguins' season ends abruptly. Now what? Will wrestling get reinstated in the Olympics? And performance-enhancing drugs may send some of the biggest stars in baseball off on long suspensions. Joining us to discuss these issues and more is our sports guy, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus Bob Dvorak. His video blog is called Sportsnet. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Paul. Still stunned by the March of the Penguins that ended so suddenly and tragically.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask you, are you all ready for Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals tomorrow night? Wait a minute. There is no Game 6 or even a Game 5. What happened? You were echoing the feelings of people all over the city today. Penguins fans are in shock.
Yes, and there's an old thing in baseball to explain the inexplicable, how the best team in hockey could score 2 goals in 4 games and never have a lead. And there's something like Lou Gehrig died of Lou Gehrig's disease. Who saw that coming?
Well, that's one way of putting it, for sure. But now come the questions. Everybody is expecting to see changes during this offseason, and that would possibly start with the coach, Dan Bylsma. Here is a man who has led the Penguins to a Stanley Cup, who has been the National Hockey League's Coach of the Year, who led the Penguins to the best record in the Eastern Conference this year, and yet they are talking about firing him. Explain how this works. Why would they consider firing him despite what has just happened?
Well, I think what you want to do is let the emotions cool, let everybody settle down, let the people in charge make the decisions, and the decisions would be to make sure that you have the best possible hockey club you can. I know there's a rush right now. People want a human sacrifice to cleanse the air of these evil spirits, but I think the Penguins hierarchy will sit down in a very rational and intelligent way and figure out the way to go from here. You can't fire 25 players, but you can fire a coach. Coaches are hired to be fired. They all know that. It's a very precarious business, but I mean, in my mind, I don't think the guy behind the bench was at fault for the performance on the ice.
And his players seem to support him. So, and you're saying that you don't think he's at fault. How much responsibility does any coach need to shoulder in a situation like this? To what extent is it a coach's fault?
Well, it's a production oriented business. If you don't produce, there are going to be changes. There were going to be changes anyway. I think what to look at is Bylsma's system. It might be okay for the regular season, but can it win in the playoffs where you see a Boston team with a structure that's defensive-oriented to just put a clamp on the other team and then counterattack, where the Penguins were an attacking team and defense is sort of an afterthought to them in so many ways. It would be nice if they could get a 7-foot-tall defenseman who can skate and blot out the net, but those are in pretty short supply.
Right, the Bruins have one, but the Penguins do not. As for the players the Penguins added in some celebrated moves late in the season, they brought in a future Hall of Famer, Jerome McGinley. They brought in another player of note, Brendan Morrow. They're unrestricted free agents. Do you expect to see any of those guys back next year?
Maybe McGinley, but then it becomes now it's not a hockey decision; it's a business decision because they got to get under the cap. So now if you start crunching numbers and salaries and who's going to accept what to stay, I mean, you got a Chris Letang that's possibly becoming a free agent. He might be out of there, and what they do with the goalie situation, well, that's anybody's guess. It's hoping to see more from Murray in the series, Crankshaft, but he was relegated to third line defense. So, there's enough disappointment to go around. I don't think any of them performed the way they thought they should have.
Well, let's cheer ourselves up by turning to baseball. The Pirates are in the postseason race for a playoff spot. And yet, can we really be cheered up when Major League Baseball is preparing to deal with one of the bigger performance-enhancing drug scandals in the history of American sports? Some of the biggest names in the game have been linked to the Biogenesis Clinic in Miami, reportedly. That comes from ESPN. We could see players like A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, Ryan Braun, who regularly makes stops with the Milwaukee Brewers here in Pittsburgh. We could see these guys disappearing for as much as 100 games. What is going on in this situation?
Well, yeah, if anybody's surprised that athletes will do anything they can to improve their performance, they should start breathing into a paper bag. This stuff has been around for decades. It's finally coming, to a head. And, the players you mentioned, the high-profile guys, A-Rod and Braun, I mean, they've already been implicated. Their names have been in the news. Braun tested positive, but he got he was absolved on a technicality. Now, I don't know the names. I don't know the procedures. This investigation is still going on, and I'll wait for the hammer to fall. But I am not surprised in the very least that baseball players and athletes, and you see, even in the NFL, people are still being suspended. This stuff goes on all the time. And, a fan has to realize that what they're watching isn't really what they're seeing. A lot of these guys are on stuff. And I hate to make a blanket indictment, because there are guys who perform the right way, legitimately, and don't cheat. And yet, everybody's going to be tarred by this scandal.
And as far as Pittsburgh players go, none of them have been mentioned in connection with this Biogenesis scandal. But how much do you worry as a Pittsburgh sports observer, as a guy who in his heart of hearts is a Pittsburgh fan, about maybe the name of a Pittsburgh Pirate turning up on this list or some other list?
Well, right. If you go back to the Mitchell report, which was, prepared to find out how deep this problem goes into baseball, Kevin Young's name was mentioned. Brian Giles' name has been mentioned in the past. On the current crop, I think, let's just keep our fingers crossed that they took the warning and heeded the advice and got clean. They do the testing now, and based on the power production I see in that lineup, I don't think we don't have to worry about performance enhancers. So.
We're talking with our sports guy, Bob Dvorak, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus. Sometimes that's a mouthful, Bob. Clearly
yes, it was.
On that go-around. His video blog, by the way, is called Sportsnet. I wanted to talk about wrestling. It is a sport that has a very big participatory and fan base here in Western Pennsylvania. It is a sport that goes back to ancient Greece and the first Olympics, and yet for some reason, and I'm not exactly sure why, but the Olympic Committee, the International Olympic Committee, or IOC, decided that they were going to suspend Olympic wrestling starting with the next Olympics in 2016. But now we're hearing that it may be reinstated in time for the 2020 Olympics. What exactly is going on here?
And you're talking to a former wrestler. I didn't have a boa or a cape or anything music, but at 119 pounds at Uniontown High School.
You, Bob?
I used to go to the mat. Yeah. And what I was hearing was that the wrestling had fallen out of favor because it wasn't getting the good TV ratings like some of the squash and waterboarding or whatever else they do. It is 5-0 to be reinstated. There are two other sports that are going to vote on in September. And if the IOC membership votes to reinstate wrestling in September, then it'll come back. The sports that it's up against in this elimination tournament or squash and baseball/softball. So, but at least wrestling did beat out wushu, which is a Chinese martial art, and I think skateboarding or something. Yeah. So they're on the list to make it back. There might be a wrestling revival.
And so, so for 2016, the next Olympics, which are slated for Brazil, there will be no wrestling. Is that correct?
You are correct.
How strange is that? That's been a part of every Olympics.
When you think about the ancient Olympics, where a substitute for war, and the Greeks would stop fighting amongst themselves and then go to the mats and wrestle, and that's it's been around forever, and it's maybe one of the premier individual sports. It's just you and the other guy. Although I have seen some things, and one of the ways to make it popular is to add women wrestling, but I won't go there. But one of its most ardent supporters, and he wrote for the Huffington Post to bring back wrestling, is the actor William Baldwin. So it's got a lot of Kurt Angle is involved in this to bring it back. So it's got a lot of supporters.
So no wrestling in the 2016 Olympics, but we might see it in 2020. So that's good news for wrestling fans and former participants like our own sports guy, Bob Dvorak. He's Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus. Check out his video blog. It's called Sports Annet. Bob, as always, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
You bet, Paul. Have a great day.
You too. And thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. We welcome your comments and your story ideas at ESSPGH@WESA.FM. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and this is 90.5 WESA, Pittsburgh's NPR news station.